there anyone else to address an item on the City Council agenda? Yes?
My name is Peter Kolchiski. I live at 499 McDonald, and I want to address the downtown college's issue as well. I'm mindful that I only have about 10 minutes.
That's right.
And I'm mindful that you want to hear different things than you've already heard.
That's right, Peter.
So, in the first instance, I just want to remind Council of the presentation that was made here some meetings ago that dealt with the issue of the budget deficit and the figures, I think, by George Nader and some others, and let you know that many in the university community are not persuaded that we face a crisis of the dimensions that President Patterson spoke to you about today. The sky was not falling on Trent University last spring. We were told that if we increase enrollments, particularly this year, we would get ourselves over the critical time. And in fact, Trent University, like all the universities in Ontario, is faced with an enormous increase of students in the next few years as the Double Hope cohort comes through the system. That's what the Superbuild Fund is there to accommodate in a physical resources sense. So in fact, this year was critical for us. We turned the corner this year. We increased our enrollment. With prudent management and some careful look at the budget, I think it would have been possible to escape the crisis. The reason why we have a crisis is right now the administration has an agenda that involves selling the downtown colleges. And if you cut through it all, the reason why they want to sell the downtown colleges, which did not create the deficit, they want to use the downtown colleges to pay off the deficit. The downtown colleges aren't responsible for putting us in the financial jam the institution is in. I'm happy to talk to you at length if you have questions about how we got there. But they want to use the downtown colleges to get us out of the jam. This is something that should concern the community of Peterborough as it concerns downtown businesses, as it concerns our alumni. For the first time in our history as a university, and President Patterson tried to put a nice face on it, the fact is some of our own alumni are turning away from us, saying you're going in the wrong direction. You're selling out the heart and soul of the institution. And I believe very strongly in what they say. I'm a faculty member at Trent. I'm the chair of the Native Studies Department. I've been in Peterborough for 10 years. Unlike President Patterson, unlike Mr. Wolf, the chair of our Board of Governors, I live in Peterborough. I have a mortgage in Peterborough. I walk to this meeting. I'll walk home. I know why the downtown colleges mean a lot to the students who come to them. You can go to a class. You can leave your class. You can go downtown. You can have a coffee. If you can afford it, you can buy a bowl of soup. You can go and browse through used books and used clothes that you can't afford and maybe plan to buy something down the road. And you can walk back to another class. In all of that activity, you're supporting downtown businesses and helping to create the real jewel that we have in the downtown Peterborough area. If you're taking a bus, even if you're living in the downtown area, if you're taking a bus to go to the main campus, you're not going to leave your class, come downtown, have a cup of coffee, take another bus, go back up to campus for another class, come back downtown again. You're not going to have the community coffee house intellectual culture that the downtown colleges anchor among the downtown students. That's all in response to President Patterson's remarks, and there's lots more I could say. But what I really want to tell you is that we had a better plan, and we have a better plan. I myself was involved for 3 years with a number of other faculty members, including in my own department, the Native Studies Department, in crafting a vision for the reinvigoration of the downtown colleges. We wanted to build a First People's House of Learning at Peter Robinson College. The Native Studies Department wanted to move downtown to be better integrated into the Aboriginal communities that are a great part of Peterborough, to be able to ourselves participate in that walking coffee culture, to develop some cultural space, for example, theater space, performance arts space, that our students in Native Studies are very eager to use, and the members in Cultural Studies who are at Peter Robinson College are eager to use, that would then be connected with the community of Peterborough. We wanted to help reinvigorate both the downtown colleges and the downtown communities. One small part of that is the Department of Native Studies hosts an annual elders gathering. 5 years ago, it reached 2,000 registered guests and many unregistered guests, and we were using the hockey arena as a main facility. We were filling all the hotels in Peterborough, and I don't know what we were doing to the restaurants, for a weekend in February. Right, a weekend in February to the businesses of Peterborough. We it basically got too big for us to manage on the main campus, and we closed the event for 1 year, and we've been having it as a much smaller student-focused event in the intervening years. Part of our project was to build downtown so we could reinvigorate that event, so that we could be much more connected to the facilities and community of Peterborough, so we could once again be selling out the hotels and selling out the restaurants for a weekend in February where we can do our business. We had a plan that involved growth, not of the sort that President Patterson was talking about. We had a plan that involved reinvigorating the downtown colleges as a part of making a contribution in a wide number of areas to the community of Peterborough. The administration has, I think, recklessly disregarded that in an attempt to grasp at some superbuild money and turn Trent into another York University, into another suburban campus. And I can tell you that in terms of attracting students from Toronto, many students come to Toronto because they're coming to a community, they're getting out of a situation where they're commuting to a campus like York University. If we build a York University in Peterborough, we're not going to be at all attractive to those students from Toronto who will be a critical part of the future of Trent University. I think, in fact, what's happening is the future of Trent University is being endangered. Don't let someone tell you, as we're not letting anyone tell us, closing colleges is reinvigorating the college system. That's doublespeak. But when someone tells you turning your back on the downtown community is enhancing our relationship with the community of Peterborough, that's doublespeak. The fact is, the downtown colleges have a critical role to play in the real face-to-face interaction between Trent University and the community of Peterborough. That's a fact. The students who live downtown need a place to anchor their community, their commitment, their intellectual engagements. That's a fact. By closing the downtown colleges, we're moving away from Peterborough. We're moving away from a downtown intellectual coffee culture that involves university students. That's a fact. You should be very concerned about this. You should take action. You should let the university know that you have an ongoing concern and that you believe the downtown colleges play a vital role in the community of Peterborough, as they have done. And I have to say one other thing. The president implied in her remarks that the students we get at Trent University now are somehow poorer quality than the students we've gotten in the past. As a faculty who teaches those students, I take extraordinary exception to that kind of remark. I'm very proud of the students we have now. They are enormous quality, and their dedication and passion in this struggle, as well as in their classrooms, proves to me that, as always, Trent's been extraordinarily successful at gaining absolutely exceptional students and a student body that we can be proud of.
Thank you very much, Professor. Are there any questions? Councillor McIntyre?
Professor, you mentioned President Patterson's remarks with regards to increased enrollment this year. And she mentioned to us that they got $300,000 extra dollars because of increased enrollment, but it cost $150,000 to do that. Can you react to that?
I'll react to that. The extra enrollment we're going to get through the double cohort isn't going to cost us a penny. They're closing grade 13 in the Ontario system, and the Ontario government, as well as Trent University, knows full well that in a few years we are going to get more students than we can accommodate. The university is proposing to deal with those more students not by increasing the existing space it's got, and Superbuild will not put in a single bed onto Trent University's campus, but they want to close beds and somehow hope pie in the sky that private developers will build beds. Well, some of us in the university think that's not the best way to get beds built. But by closing down the space, you're not going to be able to create the space you're going to need to accommodate the extra students who are coming. Now, the university did invest in recruiting. So they spent some of $150,000 in increased efforts in recruiting, and I agree with that. I myself and many of the faculty and many of the staff gave a lot of voluntary time to recruiting. And I think it's also appropriate that the university puts more money in scholarships and in bursaries, given how much university education costs. And so it's good that we're helping to attract students by being competitive in the world of scholars and bursaries. But we all know for a fact, right, that 3 years from now, Trent's problem is not going to be, do we have enough students or not? Trent's problem is going to be, how can we accommodate the students who want to get in? You can't accommodate them by you cannot accommodate them by closing beds. This was a critical year for us. This last September was absolutely critical. We had declined in enrollment the year before, I think, frankly, because of the faculty strike. And I think that gave us bad publicity. That affected our enrollment. We turned the corner this year. If the enrollment would have continued to decline, then I would have started to say we're in dire financial circumstances. Right? But in fact, we turned the corner. We're not in dire financial circumstances. Even last spring, President Patterson was not saying the sky is falling. The reason why she's saying the sky is falling now is purely political. It's to accommodate her agenda of closing the downtown colleges, and that's a provincial government agenda. It's not the City of Peterborough agenda, and it's not the Trent University agenda.
Any further questions?
Oh, could I just ask one more? If I heard President Patterson correctly, she said that they have a $3 million a year deficit. We wait three more years. That's an additional $9 million. That's an $18 million debt that Trent has to deal with. That's
an excellent question. The fact is, ask the president, how much are the downtown colleges contributing to that $3 million a year deficit? I've been asking that question for some months. Like, what do we save of the operating deficit by closing the downtown colleges? Bearing in mind, we're going to lose a lot, we're going to lose beds, and there's going to be costs associated with closing those colleges and moving a bunch of stuff up to the main campus, some significant costs. The cost to the operating budget of the downtown colleges at a high is $400,000. I'm trying to get where the details of those figures come from. They're not giving them to me very easily. I suspect, actually, if I do my own counts, it's less than $200,000 to the operating deficit. So we're having this huge fight over a $200,000 portion of a $3 million deficit. Ask the president, if you get a chance this year again, what are the components of the operating deficit of the university? It's not created by the downtown colleges. It's created by those strategic investments that she talked about. $500,000 of it, as I understand it, is created by her own discretionary spending. Where does she get the money to buy the consultants that she's been buying and to hire the additional staff that she's been hiring who weren't on staff a year ago? She herself is, I think, actually fairly recklessly spending money hand over fist at the same time as she's telling us we have a huge problem. Her own budget is larger than the contribution to the operating deficit of the downtown colleges, as I understand it. But certainly that $3 million deficit isn't created by the downtown colleges. And lastly, I agree with you. Listen, I've been at Trent for 10 years. I'm a tenured faculty there. I'm hoping to spend the rest of my career there. My job is there. I'm one of those excellent faculty who helps us get those good ratings. I publish. My department is a world-leading department, the Department of Native Studies at Trent University. And I'm passionate about this because I care about my job and I care about the future at Trent. I think these people are doing something wanton, reckless, and they've spent hours thinking about it. I've spent 3 years working on this vision of a plan in the downtown colleges. Years, not hours. They've concocted this within a matter of a few months, and they themselves don't even know the figure. George Nader has a much better grasp of the university's budget, I can tell you, than the current budget officers of the university. I think the $3 million deficit is a concern. We have to look at it. We have to tackle it. There are some serious problems the university faces, but it doesn't face it by recklessly selling the colleges, which are the university's future, mortgage, you know, getting rid of that, getting rid of our distinctiveness. I think that ruins us, actually. I think that has a much better chance of destroying our future. I think through prudent management, through some careful selective cuts that we need to make, through looking particularly at some of the administrative costs, the faculty itself, the faculty association, is going to be considering a collective agreement that involves cutbacks. We're willing to do our part, right? I think the university can be brought on board if you find a vision that unites people. This administration has staked their reputation, and I wish they wouldn't, because I have respect for some of them as individuals, on a proposal that deeply divides the university as it divides the community. That's not the way to solve the budget deficit problem. I'm involved in a court case. I raised $20,000 in three days with my colleagues to try and challenge the university's small procedural problem that the president referred to. That money could be going to the university. I was willing to contribute generously to the university when it was developing a plan that we had all worked on together. Now that they're developing a plan that's coming from the top down, it seems to reflect a provincial government agenda, I'm not going to give them 1 cent. And I'll use my money to fight them.
Councillor Clark?
Thank you, Worship. Professor, I'm interested in your plan for the downtown colleges. One of the questions I asked President Patterson tonight is the difference between Ms. Davidson's figures for the downtown beds versus her figures. Could you comment on your study and if you looked into the operating costs and whether you can address the issue of the maintenance of downtown colleges, which seems to be one of the guiding factors for wanting to get rid of it?
Sure. That's also a very good question. In the first instance, you should be aware of the fact that the biggest deferred maintenance problem of Trent University is Otonabee College. The single biggest deferred maintenance problem in hard numbers at Trent University is Otonabee College. The reason Otonabee College was planned and built and conceived in a hurry, without the proper consultation from the community, and we're paying the price for it now. And they will eventually bulldoze the bedrooms at Otonabee College within 5 years. Right? So the problems, if you look at the overall deferred maintenance problem of Trent University, the problem is not the downtown colleges. Our proposal takes the one very bad building at Peter Robinson College, which is Reed House, which is just north of Sadler House, and says that one we could look at taking down, and we can build some new buildings there. Furthermore, we can put Native Studies there. And I can tell you, I've been chair of Native Studies in a previous term, I'm chair of it now. Native Studies, we run a money-making machine. We can get money for any program we want. I go out there and get the money for the program. We wanted to run an ERS Native Studies program. I got private money from the Metcalf Foundation to bring that in. We had a nice little lunch with the Royal Bank a few weeks, $200,000 for our first People's House of Learning. I was intimately involved in that. Right? I'm the person who talked Charles Coffey into joining the university's campaign. You put Native Studies down in the downtown colleges, you no longer have a deferred maintenance problem at Peter Robinson College. Because I'll make damn sure we get the money to make that an absolutely first-rate facility. Part of our planning in Native Studies was we should use our money-making potential to help the place in the university that needs it the most at this particular time, that deserves it, and that suits our needs. That's what we're planning to do. So we take down Reed House, which is a building that would cost a lot in deferred maintenance. We put up something brand new that we can get private sector funding to lead the way to build, and we sit ourselves there, and we can bring in whatever money we need to upgrade whatever else needs to be upgraded. They would just let us do it.
Councillor Edwards?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. When I talked to Jonathan Bordeaux, he makes it sound as if the facility and the academic program are very related. Can you talk about how moving the downtown colleges is an academic decision?
Sure. You have to understand that it's not so much the case in the sciences, but certainly in the humanities, where what you're doing is you're studying texts, you're reading things and you're thinking about them. And in the science, in the humanities at least, and in the social sciences, where you're looking at books, texts, reading them, thinking about them, what goes on outside of the classroom is important for the students' learning as what goes on inside the classroom. You have to talk about what you're reading. And you have to sit down over a cup of coffee and talk about what you're reading. I'll give you my own example. I'm on Autonomy College now. I've given up meeting students in my office. You sit in an office, you have office head, you meet a student, and all you're thinking about is next. I've got to get on to the emails, I've got to get on to the memos, I've got to do this. I now drive downtown, spend the last 2 hours of the day, I'm usually in Dreams and Beans, and if you don't believe me, drop by there, you'll find me, or some coffee shop downtown, meeting with students, because you can actually talk about ideas sitting over a cup of coffee, and you're not worrying about the next memo that comes in. I get the Tom Simons vision of individual contact with students, one-on-one, talking to them about ideas. Can't do that in my office in Autonomy College. I can do that in several of the very good coffee shops that make downtown Peterborough such a nice place to be. But for the students themselves, it's all a part of mixing with each other, interaction, talking about the ideas they get from their book, bumping into each other in different places and having a dialogue around this stuff. You can't do a 9-to-5, drive up to the campus, go to your classes, go to the library, and leave at the end of the day and have that. You just don't get that doesn't exist. Furthermore, the colleges as they were conceived were designed to bring different academic disciplines together so that you'd strike sparks. That's why we have interdisciplinary programming at Trent. That's why I've started to design a program with our colleagues in environmental studies. We think intellectually the combination of Native Studies, the Cultural Studies program, the History program, and the graduate programs that are at Peter Robinson College is an exciting college environment for the particular academic endeavor we're involved in. You can't plan that sort of thing from the top down. It has to come from the people who know what's going on around them. We planned this thing very, very carefully over 3 years. I actually raised the idea with my colleagues. We started talking about it 3 years ago, and we've been working on it steadily since then. And as of November of this year, suddenly, out of nowhere, the rug gets pulled out from under us. The colleges have a critical academic function for students and for faculty, and you can't just drop that down on top of people. It has to come organically, like a community has to be built organically.
Thank you. Councillor Bradburn.
Thank you, Your Worship. One question. Sounds like you spent a lot of time analyzing the future of Trent and where you thought it would be going or where you'd like to see it go. And I'm just curious as to how your involvement was in the consultation with the process.
Earlier on, This, our project, prior to President Patterson's arriving, was approved in principle by the Board of Governors. So it was the only building, new building project that was in the Beyond Our Walls campaign. I can tell you at the time, everyone said, private donors, they're not funding bricks and mortars. Bricks and mortars project, like the First People's House of Learning, you'll never get money for it. We got into the campaign largely because myself and my colleagues, particularly in Native Studies, said, we believe we can raise money. You just give us a chance, we'll go out there, we'll get the money for this thing. Now, suddenly, all across the system, everybody's talking bricks and mortars. Foundations and other people are getting into it. We heard, because of a conversation on a bus in late August, that the university was contemplating closing the downtown colleges. Instantly, a large group of faculty sat down to meet with Bonnie, and one of the 7 hours that she gave us was a 2.5 hour or so meeting very early on in September. I asked her then point blank, have you made a decision? She said, no. I said, can you give us time to make our case to you, to balance off your principles? She said she would. I said, you have a committee right now looking at alternatives. Why don't you put someone who's working on the one building that's already approved on that committee so we can liaison, so we can work with it? She said she would think about it. She never put any of us on the committee. We met with her again for about 2 hours. That's the extent of time that she gave us. So she calculates maybe it's somewhere in there, it added up to 7 hours. It became clear to us that the committee all along had been guided by an agenda of closing the downtown colleges, that the president had already made up her mind. She didn't consult us ahead of time. She didn't give us a chance to make a fair case. She didn't involve us in the committee procedure. We went to faculty board, which is where all the chairs meet. I sponsored a motion saying the downtown colleges closure should not be a part of Superbuild. That proposal was defeated narrowly in faculty board. Faculty board did not pass any motion supporting the proposals. We then went to Senate. Senate, in our view, is the highest academic decision-making body of the university. We gathered together, we talked, we lobbied people, we talked to them, we had a long debate. It came to Senate, there was a long debate in Senate. President Patterson participated in the debate. The debate took place around a motion that said Senate has authority on this issue. That was one of the clauses in the motion. President Patterson participated in the debate, voted on it, and lost. We won the battle in Senate. The next day, that was the first night that I slept very well, thinking, hey, this is over, and we can now go on. We have a plan. It'll work. President Patterson decided to bull ahead and took her plan to faculty, to the Board of Governors. And in my view, that violated the Trent Act. And for the first time in Trent's history, significantly divides the two governing bodies of the university, the Senate that has authority over academic matters and the Board of Governors. So when the president says there's a small problem with process, that's a problem that the university as an institution is a fundamental principle to, the autonomy of Senate as a decision-making body in academic matters.
I'm going to interrupt because we have Councillor Leal, and also at 10 o'clock we have to move on to other business. So, Councillor Leal.
Thank you, Worship. My question will be very quickly through you, and thank you, sir, for your presentation. A quick question is, President Patterson on numerous occasions has made reference to a task force that developed the consensus and the fundamental components of this plan. Did you have an opportunity or your colleagues to make submissions to this to help provide the framework for that?
No, we did not. We asked to be on the task force. She said she would take it under advisement. She never included us on the task force. The task force, as I understand it, was given a mandate from the very beginning, as I've learned subsequently. And clearly, she did not build a consensus around this issue. There is no consensus in the university community. In fact, opposition to the plan, as I see it, seems to be growing very strongly. And one other thing that I will say, and it echoes what Your Worship said in response to President Patterson's mark, which is the amount of discussion, debate, and activity you've heard around this happens because Trent is a healthy community, because we have a tradition of democratic decision-making and of an activist faculty and an activist student body who've always been, in some fundamental way, in the loop when it comes to making decisions at Trent. This is actually a historic violation of some norms as well as principles as well as legal standards that govern Trent. Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks.